Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
For I have so many things that I would teach you about in that place. Oh, if I could, I would gather you unto myself. I would hold you in my arms. I would bring you into the holy places of God. I'd walk you through the gardens of the Lord. I'd show you the rivers and streams and the mighty places and the gentle places. Oh, if you and I could fellowship without all the distraction, without all the worldly attachment, without all the thoughts and worries and cares. But if you could train yourself to come away. Yes, I said train yourself to come away. If you could train yourself to come away from the distractions of the world and the thoughts and the cares that pull you one way and another. Oh, but come away and cast your eyes upon me and look at me and focus on me and look in my eyes and I into yours, and you would see without a word ever being passed between us, you would see the truth. For when you gaze in my eyes and I gaze in yours, remember that I am the Word. I was the Word made flesh. And when you come away and you spend time with me, the Word will become very clear. Oh, it's in my presence that the Word makes manifest, that the Word becomes established, that the Word becomes revelation and power and knowledge in you. It's in my presence that the Word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. If you could train yourself to come into my presence and gaze in me and allow me to gaze into you, and do not be afraid, but know that when I look at you, I am looking at you with love. And yes, there are some things that would be burned out by my loving gaze. But remember, it's only because I love you. It's only because you are more dear to me than my own life was. You are more dear to me than my own life. You are more dear to me than my own life's blood. You were then and you still are. And because of that, when I gaze at you with love, yes, there are times when the dross will be burned out, yes. Because my love will cleanse you. My love will purify. But it's not an angry kind of love. My love will help you. My love will correct you and help you and raise you up above all those worldly things. Do not seek in the flesh to overcome, but come to me. I'm the one that can help you overcome. Do you struggle with sin? Come to me. I will help you overcome. That's who I am. I am the overcomer in you. You cannot do it outside of me. Your flesh has no overcoming power, but I have all overcoming power. Come to me and let me overcome through you. Let me overcome in you. Let me overcome the thoughts, the nagging thoughts. Don't stay outside and ask me to fix it for you. Come in and let me fix it with you. For you see, in my presence, in that place, I can do more in a moment than you can do in a year outside my presence. Oh, in a moment I can set you free. I can deliver you from strongholds. I can heal you on the inside. I can touch you so that you're never the same. In a moment, you know it's true. You know in your heart that that's true. And the enemy tries to keep you outside of my presence because he knows that that's the remedy. He knows that I am the remedy to everything that will ever ail you. I am the remedy to every problem you have, every temptation you have, every sickness you have, every disease, every disorder, every distrust, every malady, every kind of issue. The thoughts, there's someone in here, there's tormenting thoughts that come like a whirlwind and they race like a cycle. And your thoughts, when you get caught in that thing, it's like you hours sometimes pass before you even realize what's happened. That's the enemy, my dear. That's the enemy. Those aren't even your thoughts. Your thoughts grab a hold of his lie and go like a whirlwind. But that torment, I never give torment. I don't give torment, and I don't want my children tormented by a lie from the enemy. I don't want you to be racked with worry. Worry is not of God. Fear is not of me. You don't have to fear. You don't have to live that way. But if you stay outside my presence, you won't be able to help but live that way. So I'm calling you in. I'm calling you in. You say, what's my calling? Here it is. Come in. What's my calling? Here it is. Come in. And yes, when you're in with me, all the other giftings and anointings and callings will flow freely. They can't help but. You can't help but move in the anointing and the power and the gifting and the calling. When you're standing in my presence, you can't help it. You couldn't stop it. You can't stop the manifested presence of God when you're standing in His presence. You could no more help that than you could stop a river. But to stay outside of my presence and ask for me to do it for you, that's not working my system. I have a system, you know. My system was never, ever, ever that you should be able to do it outside of me. Your flesh has no good thing. Didn't you read it in my Word? In your flesh dwells no good thing. I wrote it, spelled it clear. Your flesh, it doesn't have the power to overcome. Your spirit does. Your spirit, when it communes with me as the bride and the groom commune together in the holy place, making love, that's what bears fruit. That intimate communion and union between the bride and the groom, that's you and me, says the Lord. Oh, when you come in that place, there's always fruit. There's always anointing. There's always power. There's always glory. There's always manifested presence. So the object is to come in my presence and let me manifest who I am in you and through you. And in the process, you'll be gloriously changed and you won't care about some of the stuff you think is so important. Oh, some of the things you think are important when you stand in my presence, you'll realize it's cheap plastic junk and you'll throw it out and say, why did I care about that? Why did I think that was important? Oh, because in my presence you'll see the majesty on high. You'll see the glory of the throne. You'll come to understand that this is what it's about. This place, this heavenly place, this reality of heaven, more real than the world you live in, which will come to nothing. There will be a new heaven and a new earth where I will rule and reign. And what you have done with me in the Spirit, that's what will stand in that day. What you have done with me in the realm of the Spirit during your life, that's what will stand eternity. That's the testimony. People try to build all kinds of things outside my presence, even trying to do it in obedience to me. And that's a good work. But it won't stand eternity if they didn't let me do it through them by my grace and my power. That is why it's so wonderful for you to become less and me to become more in you. Because as you learn how to become less and let me be more in you, you see, then the sufficiency is not of a human, but of Jesus Christ. That was the system that I devised to fill you with myself, that you could actually commune with me in the gardens of God, you see. But it must be learned. And the way that you learn it is to practice. And the way that you practice is to come away. Come away to a quiet place. Come away to a quiet place. Come away to a quiet place and keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it until you learn how to enter into the stillness of the inner man, the real Sabbath rest, that deep rest of God in your inner man where there is no distraction, there is no care, there is no other thought. And for that moment in time, there's no family, no bills, no house, no trouble. There's only me and you, and you and me, and that's all there is. And in that moment, or that hour, or that day, or that week, you and I, we have communion. And when we have communion, I begin to manifest myself in ways you have never seen. I begin to give you thoughts you have never dreamed could be true. For I will allow my thinking structures to go through your soul. That's how you have the mind of Christ. And that's the only way you have it. Yes, you have the mind of Christ. But to operate in it, you must come with me. Until our minds begin to think like one person. Because when our minds begin to think as one, you begin to think my thoughts, you'll come out of that place and you'll be changed. You won't be able to talk about it yet. You won't be able to share the great revelation you got. In fact, you come in every day and pretty soon you won't want to go anywhere else. You want to come in and stay in because you'll get a taste of the divine glory. You'll get a taste of the divine place. And all other things become uninteresting. And you'll find yourself slip away to meet me. Maybe you'll be in a doctor's office waiting. And you just close your eyes and slip away to the garden. It's okay that everyone else is reading a magazine. You'll get to the place if you do this. You'll get to the place where the noise doesn't bother you. You'll get to the place where you don't hear the music of the earth. You don't hear the voices. You don't hear the kids running around. You'll get to a place where you can just come. I want you to grow in this because I have such great things to give you. Oh, if you could see what I have for you. If you could see what I have for you, you would not hesitate, but you would fight every foe to get in this place. If you could see what heaven holds for you. But please don't wait until you die and go to heaven. Because I want you to have it now. The whole idea was for humanity, for the church, to begin to walk in what I gave them. And the church has not seen, has not fully realized, has not known, has been afraid. And because the church has not seen the mighty vision of what they could have and who they could be. Because individuals have not seen what they could have and who they could be. They have not fought to keep that garden relationship. They've not fought to keep it. They've not fought with the enemies of distraction. Do you know there are people who so covet my presence and their day is so busy that they will get up in the middle of the night to come and find me? Because their love for me is great enough that they say, well, if I can't find solitude another way, I'll get up at 2 in the morning. I'll get up at 5. I'll stay up late to let the other people are in bed. I'll get in the car and I'll go somewhere else. I'll hide away. You see, if you love me, you'll find me. Come and find me. And I will be found by you. You come and find me and I will be found by you. He who seeks me will find me when they seek me with all their heart. You make an effort. You leave the stuff behind. You come and find me. And you and me will fellowship. And I will give you what I have. All these things that you've asked for, that's nothing to me. I don't mind you having them. I don't mind you walking in power and anointing and giftings. I don't mind any of that. But I won't have it if you try to do it outside my presence. I won't have that. Because a person of flesh trying to carry the glory will hurt people and hurt themselves and hurt the church. So strive to enter through that narrow gate, that small door, where you become small and I become great. Because in that place, you see, I will give you what I have. I will give you what I have. And what do I have? Everything. Every kind of anointing imaginable. Every kind of gifting imaginable. Every gift of the Spirit I have. All knowledge I have. You want the truth? Ask me. The Bible says you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. How do you do it? By coming to me. By coming to me. Learn this and you will not have problems. Oh, you'll have them in the external flesh, but they'll never affect you. They can't touch your spirit. They can't touch your spirit. I'm not saying you won't have stuff go on in the natural. You just won't care. It can't hurt your spirit. What can they do? They can never take your spirit from you. They can never take the Holy Ghost from you. They can never take your salvation from you. No matter what the trouble is, they can't touch that. And I made it so. I made it so that they can never take from you what I have given. Even if they were to kill you, they cannot take the Holy Ghost from you. No, sir. And so learn to come and find me in that place. And I will fill you. And the more you come, the more I will fill you. And the more you come, the more I will fill you. And the more you come, the more I will fill you. And you will grow. As you learn how to walk in the presence, you learn how to walk in heavenly places, you'll get to where you can handle more and more and more and more. It was never my intention for people to stay the way they were. It was my intention for people to come and grow in me until they look like me. And I will help you. I will guide you. I will help you every step of the way. But the only way I can do it is if you come to me. Hallelujah. See, there really is an ever-increasing glory. Many of you have tasted different parts of the glory. Some of you have really tasted the glory. Maybe you went to a meeting and got touched. Maybe you had an experience in your bedroom. Maybe you just met God in a glorious way. Maybe you've had occasional experiences where you were taken to heaven or just went over into the Spirit. Many of you have actually tasted the glory. Some of you have tasted it more than others. But there is an ever-increasing glory that Jesus desires for us to walk in. Not for our glory, but that we might show His. And there's a way to learn how to move in His presence until that becomes rather normal. See? And I actually believe that this is what the early church did. The early church, think about what they did. Think about what the 11 men, after Judas died, right? There was 11. Think about how much they accomplished. They couldn't have been like today's church. They were different. They did things differently. They saw things differently. They lived differently. They had left everything for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Their level of commitment, their level of prayer. They were a different sort. And I really believe that as we gaze into the Word and see how they did it, see, the Bible says that the glory of the latter reign is to be greater, even greater than the former reign. That means in the last day, something's going to happen where there will be a people, I believe it will be a remnant, that will manifest the things of God to a greater degree than even in the beginning. But we won't do it casually. We're going to have to be sold out to Jesus Christ. We're going to have to change the way we think and the way we look at things and the way we approach life, the way we approach God, the way we approach the Word, the way we approach each other. You know, sometimes when you say to somebody you need to change, they act like that's a dirty word. But the truth is, every one of us must be completely transformed. Completely. We have to be transformed. And we have to face that. We have to face that we need to be transformed from one thing to another thing. You know, a long time ago, I used to joke about a little Volkswagen that said, I want to be like that plane. Oh, I see that plane. I want to be like the plane. What do I need to do? You know, you can't just stick wings on a Volkswagen and it's a plane. It has to be completely metamorphosed. Every part of it has to change. By the grace of God, thank you, Lord, we don't have to do it all at once because we couldn't take that, right? But He takes one piece at a time and He changes it. And so, I hope I can say this right, but the if you take years on one item, you're probably never going to amount to much. If you take years peddling around instead of going after the thing, is your life will spin by before you know it. You'll end up going home never having accomplished the great thing that you were born to do. See, I don't know how, but somehow when I was young, God put something in me that said, I have to go home knowing that I've done whatever it is I was born to do, whatever that is. No matter how small it is, how menial it is, or how great it is, no matter what it is, I don't want to stand before God and say, well, I did this, that, and the other. And He says, well, that's great, but you didn't do what you were born to do. And so for me, you know, the Bible says our life is like a vapor. You know, it's like a vapor. You talk to Edgar and ask him how fast it went. He's 90. Like that. You know, now Edgar's 90. He's looking back. All the people he served with on the police force are dead. All the people in his vintage, they're all gone. He's like the last man standing. And he's looking back at it, telling me how incredibly fast it all was. And in a moment, boom. So to me, it was worth putting other things on the back burner to say, here I am, God. Start working. No, start changing me. Help me. Confront me. Get in my face. Show me what to do to be transformed. And so I believe that tonight is actually a divine appointment. I can almost say I don't think I've ever felt about a night like I've felt about this night. And I knew that God was calling people to come here, that He was deciding who would come. And I also knew, and I never say stuff like this, but I felt that as I speak, there's actually going to be something also imparted besides information. So I'm asking the Lord for the grace to speak everything He needs spoken and for Him to impart, whether through me or not, doesn't matter, but for Him to impart by the Spirit everything that is needed here. So years ago, as I sought the Lord about being changed and being transformed and finishing my course, remember what Paul said? He said, I've run the race. I've finished my course. There is for me now a crown of righteousness laid up. He knew he had done everything he could do. He had gone to every town willing to be beaten up, willing to die for Jesus, willing to walk in right into the town square and just start talking. I mean, that man had some nerve. And his calling was a little bit different than a lot of ours, but his heart was unstoppable. That man had a mission. He was on a mission from God, and it didn't matter what they did to him, he was going to accomplish that thing. And whatever your mission is, whatever your calling is, and it doesn't matter what man thinks of it or how big or small it is, that's not what matters. What matters is that you become the vessel that He designed you to be. And you say, well, am I not? Yeah, you are, but the problem is the fall caused a twisting and a perversion so that when we were born, we were actually born with bloodlines that had sinful tendencies, sinful proclivity. We're drawn to things we shouldn't be drawn to. You know, we have to watch what we look at, what we hear. We have to transform our vessel. It says to work out your salvation with trembling. Work it out. Work it out. So just because we're saved, that's only like the very beginning of our transformation process. And so for me, because I think I knew that I came to God with all kinds of junk and baggage and problems, I began to seek the Lord because I somehow knew that for us to do what we were called to do and what we were born to do, that our vessel had to be made ready. We house the Holy Ghost, and that's awesome. And He's all-powerful and all-glorious. But if you look at, you could line up hundreds of thousands of Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled believers. They're all getting in, they're all full of the Holy Ghost, but you'll see very few that actually attain the fullness of what they were born to do. And I believe tonight God's going to explain why that is and what we can do to be some of the ones. So as I began to seek God years ago, and I'm still on my journey, don't get me wrong, I got a long way to go and I know it. I have a lot of things I'm still changing. There's a lot of things I'm being transformed in, but I am being transformed and I won't let go. I won't quit. I won't stop. You know, even when I was my tiredest tired and wanted to quit, God put something in me that was like a pilot light years ago and it could never go out even when I wanted it to. Even when I wanted to lay down and die, I just couldn't let go of the fire God had put in me. God has put something in you that has a purpose. You have an identity, and some of you have not even yet seen the fullness of your identity. You've not seen your fingerprint. You have a fingerprint in the Spirit that's not like anybody on earth. There's nobody like you. Nobody. There's nobody with your fingerprint, and there's nobody with your spiritual identity. And so if we just go along like sheep without a shepherd, you know, just like cattle being herded one way and herded another with whatever the latest teaching is, we're never going to accomplish what we're supposed to. And one thing God showed me years ago is that we tend to be reactive. That's what sheep without a shepherd are like. Oh, we're going this way now. Oh, we're going that way now. And Christians oftentimes go through life just dealing with whatever today brings. Today brought a flat tire. Oh, Lord, give me a new tire. Today brought whatever problem. Oh, Lord, fix this problem. Today brought two options. Oh, Lord, show me what to do with these two. Reactive, completely reactive. And if you go through your whole life that way, I promise, you're not going to accomplish the fullness of God's will for you. Now, He'll bless you and you'll get into heaven. Glory. Hallelujah. But you won't be able to do what you were put on earth to do. Because sheep rarely do. Now remember, it says He had compassion on these poor little sheep that had no shepherd. But we're not sheep that have no shepherd, we have one. But here's the thing, we are to build our life proactively. Okay? And one of the things God showed me years ago was a vacant lot. And this vacant lot was the lot I was supposed to build my building on. Your life is like a building that you are supposed to build in the Spirit. You cannot build it in the flesh. You cannot build it by fleshy good works. Now, if you do a good work by the Spirit, that counts. You remember how it said that every man builds on the building, but he has to take heed how he builds, because there will be some with wood, hay, and stubble, and there will be some with things that don't perish, because in the end, a fire will test it. And the fire will burn up the wood, hay, and stubble. It says the man will be saved, but as by fire. In other words, he'll be saved, but with some smoke. Because all the stuff he built in the flesh will fry like an egg. And it won't stand eternity. But anything he did at the direction of God and by the Spirit of God will stand for all eternity as a monument to God. So what are you building? And so what God began to show me is that we can deliberately build the life that God wants. We can build the building He wants. He gave me this thing last night, and this is just a parable, so don't go out of here and say I said this was the truth, all right? It's just a parable. But He gave me this parable of what if before you were born, God said to you, you know, let's say you were hanging out in heaven with Him. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying this is a parable. Let's say He said to you, I'm going to give you a chance to go on earth and build something great for me. Would you do it? Of course, God, I'd be honored. Okay, you're going to be born as a child and you're going to get to go through life and build a building for me. Hallelujah. Let me at it. Okay, you get born, but now the problem is you don't remember that conversation. So you bumble along, eventually get saved and live life kind of the way you're living it now, but you don't realize that you're here to build something. Your life is like a building. And so years ago, God began to deal with me, and everywhere I would look in the Scriptures, and everywhere I would look in church, and everywhere I would look in any way, I saw the buildings of the Lord. And I saw buildings that people did in the flesh, and I saw vacant lots where nothing was. And so God showed me my vacant lot, and it was full of junk. You know, I was born again. I had the lot. Thank you, Jesus. I had the land. That means I was born again. But on this lot, before I could even think about building a building, I had to remove all this stuff. Because before you can lay a foundation, you have to dig out all the junk. I could see tractor parts, old tree trunks, junk, you know, stuff that was in the soil. It just had to be dug out. And so God, before I could even build a building, God began to talk to me about get free, get the junk out of your vessel. And so we spent about 3 years, God and I, just going after the things that needed to be freed and cleared so that we could even build something. Because, you know, if you have issues, if you have strongholds, you know, God isn't condemning you. And you'll still, listen to me, you'll go to heaven. If you have the heart for Jesus and you got born again and you believe in Him, thank you, Jesus, for His forgiveness, you're getting in. But you won't carry glory very well with a big old tractor part hanging off your side. You know? Have you ever seen somebody, and I know you have, come into the church and they got this big old stronghold? And they're mad and they got a chip on their shoulder and they have an attitude. Maybe they have bitterness. Maybe they have a stronghold of one kind or another, and it affects their walk. You know, they're walking, you know, in the church like this, not in the natural. But in the spirit, they're like a mangled mess because they've been wounded, they've been hurt, they've been beat up. You know, in the natural, they may look all polished and shining. They may have a beautiful suit, nice hair, look good. But on the inside, they might be so beat up, they're almost unrecognizable. Well, that person may come in, and we see it all the time. People come to me all the time. Oh, I want to be used of God. I want to be used in the gifts. Well, God freely gives that. He wants to use you. But some of the people that come with that statement are so wounded and hurting and messed up that hinders them from receiving what He has already freely given. Tractor parts will hinder you from receiving the fullness of all that He wants to do in your life. And somehow, early in life, I began to realize this and say, if it's the last thing I do, I want my lot clean, I want it free, I want the junk out of here. I want rid of the temptations, I want rid of sinful thoughts, I want rid of anger, I want rid of the attitude. I want rid of the fear of man, I want rid of the need for man's approval, whatever. I mean, we could go on all night. And everybody's stuff in their lot is different. But one thing I saw is that if we're going to really carry the thing in the last day, we can't be doing it all limping and messed up and twisted because we're so bruised and hurt and have so many strongholds. Now, does He love you? Yes. Are you forgiven? Absolutely. Are you going to heaven? Yes. Hallelujah. If you're born again, you're going. So I'm not saying any of that, but I am saying this. If you really want to do the thing, you want to carry this stuff. You want to be used of God to fulfill whatever your mission is. Whatever it is, you want to be able to say with Paul, I did it. I did it. I did what I was born to do. You want to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done. Well done. You want to hear that, then it's probably a good idea to seek transformation. Proactively, meaning, oh God, you know, like, oh God, just change me. You know, just push the button, change me. Well, here's the thing. God knows we couldn't handle that. And by the way, He won't do it. Here's how He changes you. The first thing He does is He confronts you with the issue He wants to deal with first. Now, for me, I had like 857 issues. You know, I had so many issues, there's no way. And I just wanted them all gone at once. But what I did was I went to God and said, show me what we're dealing with today. Because God knows what you can handle today. He knows what He can peel off today. And I'd say, let's just deal with this. And then I would pray in the Spirit until it was gone. Right? Some of you have heard this before. Bear with me. Some people haven't heard it. Pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 days, 30 days. Didn't care. Pray to let things gone. And then what I began to notice is that thing by thing by thing by thing, my personality began to change, and stuff that I thought was me wasn't even me. It was a stronghold. And what I began to see was that as I was transformed, I began to think different, and I began to be so much more free in my thinking, and it began to be so easy for me to hear from God because I wasn't all clogged up with junk. It began to be easy for me to sit in the presence or open the Bible and go, Revelation. See, in the old days, I'd open the Bible and go, black words on a white page. You know, I just didn't, I mean, I loved it, but it didn't help me as much. But as I got freer from the stuff, it was like I could open the Bible anywhere and go, wow, look at that. You know, just boom, revelation. Because my vessel was now changed to interact better with God. See, what you want is to cause yourself to be alive to God and dead to the world. Most people are so alive to the world and so dead to God, they say, oh, I don't hear from God. Well, there needs to be a little bit of change. Not condemning anybody. I was there. Hallelujah. You know, and I think the only reason God uses me is because I was a worse mess than probably almost anybody you could ever meet. I was a jerk with a capital J. I mean, I had issues. And I sinned. I had been into sin. And you know, when you open a lot of doors to sin, you have a lot of junk. That was a screwed up mess. And so I can talk about this without pointing any fingers. That's why God lets me do it. And I still have issues. Thank you very much. I'm aware of them. So you go ahead and help me. Pray for my issues. I'm praying for them. Hallelujah. But I'm not ashamed. I know who we are. I know one thing. In our flesh, there's nothing good. See, the issue with people is they don't have that revelation and they still think there's something. People who have a natural gift, they want to be all this and that with their natural gift. You know, honey, you're going to need to die to your natural gift. Now, God may resurrect it and use it by the Spirit. But if you have pride over that thing, he'll kill it. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was I started to go in and say, I'm getting on the operating table, get out the knife. Get it out, God. Get out the knife. I trust you with my life. See, that's what a living sacrifice is. I laid on the floor, when I read the scripture about to offer ourselves a living sacrifice, I got down on the floor, face down, and said, I'm not much to offer you, but here it is. I'm giving this to you as a living sacrifice. This is no longer my life. It's yours. And if something isn't of you, you kill it. And he got a big knife. God is a big old knife. But here's the thing. You can trust him with your life. Because he will never do what isn't best for you. He will never damage you. What he'll do is so gently cut out the thing that needs cutting out. So I went through some years of having him cut out some junk. And then he began to confront me about my mind, my thoughts. Now, I'd been purged from, you know, and cleansed from lust and all that jazz. I thought, I'm doing pretty good, you know. Got rid of all these strongholds. Look at me. I'm doing all right. And God said, you got a mind like a garbage can. I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I got rid of all that stuff. He said, no. He said, you don't think like the Bible. He said, you don't believe that. You think negative. I say A, you believe B, and therefore you get in fear and doubt and worry, worry, fret, 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 worry, pity, 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 pity. He said, that's garbage and you need to change it. And so then we began a few year process of dealing with that whole thing. But one of the things that God showed me, in the Old Testament, King David went to his son and he told him the exact blueprint for the temple that was to be built. And I mean, it's so exact. He had the measurements. He knew the weight of gold to be in every vessel. I mean, the details. It goes on like for a chapter. And he spells out the exact blueprint of the temple and all the stuff in the temple. Solomon had to be careful to follow the exact blueprint. Do you understand that there's a blueprint in heaven for you? There's a blueprint of your life. Ephesians 2 said that you are God's workmanship, his work of art, right? You're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance that you should walk in them. There's good works with your name on them, not good works of the flesh, but good works that the Holy Ghost wants to do through you. See, in the old days, I used to fret. I just try to give you an example. Some of you are going, what does she mean by the spirit, by the flesh? What are you talking about? Okay, here's an example. When I first started preaching, you know, I knew there was something on the inside of me that God wanted to speak. And the first time I tried to preach publicly, it was dead as a doornail. It was the worst service I was ever in. Boring, 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 boring. I wanted to leave, but I couldn't because I was a speaker. It was so bad. And I couldn't figure it out because I had the Holy Ghost. I had a lot of fire. I had a lot of zeal. I had a lot of stuff happen in my house. But here I was, boring everyone to tears. And I was like embarrassed, you know, because this pastor had seen some feet, seen some gifts in action, and he was like putting me up there, and hallelujah. It was embarrassing. At the end of the service, I stuck my hand in the air and I said, and suddenly I stepped over to the Holy Ghost and didn't know it, you know, because I didn't know enough at the time to know how to do that. It just sort of happened. Later I learned how, see. But I stuck my hand in the air and I said these words. I said all that to say this, and then the wind of God came and people started crying. One woman fell out of her chair. Another woman had Jesus come up to her and grab her hand and had a 2-hour experience where he delivered her from a lifetime of abuse. I mean, stuff happened. It was nothing I did right. Well, what happened? So over the years, I had to learn how not to preach as me giving you my knowledge. How many people do we have that we're listening to their knowledge? And maybe they have good knowledge, but haven't we had enough of that already? Don't we now need to know what is God saying? I'd rather listen to a little kid who's speaking by the Spirit, who's saying this is what God is saying, if they're accurate. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something else. When you start moving in the prophetic, there's levels of power. All right? If you operate in one level of the prophetic and you do it well and you keep your nose clean and you don't get prideful and you don't take the glory, you don't act like it's anything you did right, because it ain't. It ain't. And you keep that, right? You get that attitude and you come to understand it. We don't have anything to offer God. Nothing. Right? Chief of sinners here. Screwed up mess here. But I've learned how to yield my vessel to God. I can step over and let Him prophesy. And if you do that and remain in the proper setting, in fact, what happens is if you're really moved by the Spirit, your revelation of that fact should grow. That we got nothing to offer God but His grace and glory is powerful, and He wants to use any of us. And when you get that revelation, He says, oh, all right, okay, promotion. Now we're going to turn up the juice a little, let you stand in that. You see, people fall down so easy under the power, right? But as you become accustomed to His face, you should become accustomed to levels of glory, ever-increasing glory, to where you can handle more, you can stand more, you can deliver more without being touched by it and without touching it. See, so there's promotion in this thing. So anyway, David gave Solomon a blueprint, and he was supposed to follow it to the T, to the letter. And what people do a lot of times is sometimes they get maybe a word from God, you're going to do this, and then they go figure out how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, with whom to do it. And they try to make it happen in the flesh. And what you'll have is a mixed bag. You'll have some good things and some mess, usually mostly mess. And then when they fail, they go, well, God, you told me to do this. Yeah, but you did it. See, I want to do it through you. You know, they say only what's done for Christ will stand. I'm going to say only what Christ does through you is what will stand. When you learn how to yield your gift, whatever it is, whether it's preaching, whether it's your job, some people are gifted at their job. They're gifted and anointed to do a certain job, and everybody on the job says there's something different about that guy. That guy is anointed to do, and there's something about that guy. And that is a ministry. If you're a mom or a dad, that is a ministry. In fact, an incredibly important ministry in the kingdom. It's not often recognized. But when you get to help someone become who they are, it's a whole lot better than trying to help them undo who they thought they were and then become who they are. You know, it's a whole lot better when you get them young. I'm just trying to say, whatever your calling in your ministry is as you present it to God. I'm trying to give you another example. If I were to come in here and try to lead a meeting, you know, when I was young in preaching, okay, I would come in, I would ask for the songs, and I would ask for the message, and then I would deliver them. And that was good. It was okay. Got a lot of people saying, that helped me. That was good. But then, as I grew in the things of the Spirit, I began to stop at every, you know, let's say between every song, what do you want to do now, God? What do you want to do now? What do you want to do now? And he would sort of drive the thing, and the meetings became better, and I noticed more feedback. See, feedback, I don't do it to please man, because I don't care about man. I do it to please God. But I do listen to feedback, because feedback will tell you whether people are receiving by the Spirit. Because when the Spirit is talking, trust me, when I say, arrows will go into people's heart. When the Spirit of God is ministering, you'll get a whole different kind of feedback than if you preach the sermon. Okay? Because when the Spirit of God is doing something, He's ministering into men's souls, into men's hearts. It's an amazing thing. And so over time, I began to learn that every second, what are we doing now? What are we doing now? I don't ask it, but like my radar's up, what are we doing now? What are we doing now? And the more we do that, the more His glory comes, right? I said that to say this. That is the way our life could be and should be. Many people only ever stop and ask the Holy Ghost when it's time to marry somebody, pick what college to go to, what are you going to do for a career. Some people only ever ask God to direct them in the big stuff. Some people ask Him more about daily stuff, but some people become His vessel to where they are yielded with their antenna up all the time. They're walking through the grocery store and they get this little... You know, I can't say it's lightning and thunder. I can't even say you always hear Him say, but sometimes there'll just be this, like a catching, like, what is that? And you're aware that God wants your attention. And that doesn't happen unless you have yielded your vessel enough to become sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You know, your heart can become hard to listening to God. It doesn't mean He's not talking or wouldn't talk, but as you engage more and more in the things of this earth, you harden yourself, and as you engage more and more in the interaction with God, you soften your heart, right? And the more pliable you are, and the more easy it becomes to hear Him, see Him, feel Him, and become aware of what He's doing in the Spirit. See, it's us that has to change. We cry out, oh God, come to us, you know, we want God to come and do this stuff. I'm sure most of you probably heard this, but somebody has, so I have to share it. There was a guy, this is what God showed me one time, He showed me a man standing in the forest, the guy had a wonderful heart, he's in the forest, he's, oh God, come and pour your rain on me, oh God, anoint me, oh God, give me your giftings. And the whole time, about 50 yards away, there's this river of God, and it's flowing, constantly flowing, just rushing water, and the river's calling to him, you come over here. Come over here, get in what I'm doing, you'll always be in the flow. You'll always be in the anointing, you'll always be in the gifting. Everything that I have will flow through you. You see, there's a difference. This guy thinks God's going to push a button and somehow do it different for him. No, honey, He won't. He has a system, and you have to work His system. He is not going to work yours. If He could, I'd have been doing this years ago a whole different way. I tried. And God told me one day, my words, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I have a system. By the way, I'm not changing it for you. I'm not going to do it the way you think. Or you're going to do it the way I think, or you're not going to do it. I've laid it out in my word. You do it my way, and we'll do this thing. If you don't want to do that, okay. Still love you. You're still getting in. But if you want to do this thing, you come to me, and you do it my way, and we'll do this. See, He's laid it out, and He wants us to come in and do it His way. Why do you think Reinhard Bonnke changes the world every time he sets foot in Africa? See, he learned God's system. He learned it very young. He was building His building. I haven't even said yet when I'm supposed to say, hallelujah, God, give me grace. Reinhard Bonnke was a little boy, and even as a little kid, he would see the continent of Africa on fire. He'd see like a map, fire, and he would hear, Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. He said, everybody else is out playing stickball, and I'm walking around the yard going, Africa shall be saved. Africa shall be saved. See, he was consumed with his mission. And so everything he did, every purpose that he had, where he went to school, he had to actually come against his own dad to go to school to do what he was called to do. It was hard. But he kept pushing to build his building that he knew God had for him. He wouldn't quit. And even when it began to be birthed in Africa, you know, when he first went, he said, I had a congregation of six, and most of those were my family. And I'm preaching my heart out, and there's nobody there, and I'm wondering what's going on, how come nothing's happened? I know you told me to come to Africa. I know Africa shall be saved. And nothing is happening. He said it was almost making him sick. He was so stressed over it that he actually had a stomach ache and was actually getting ulcers. And he said one day he went across the street, he stepped out from the curb, and he heard, go to Botswana. And he said, Botswana? What's in Botswana? And the Lord said, go to Botswana and rent a stadium. He's like, stadium? I got six people. So he goes to Botswana, they rent the stadium, they put flyers everywhere, and when the day of the service comes, he said it was packed, the stadium was full of people. He couldn't figure it out. And he said he goes to preach, and from behind him comes a fireball, and it slams into the people, and they all fall down. And he said, you know, Reinhardt, he says, I was shocked. See, but what happened was he spent his life building this thing. And here's the good news. Once you build it forever, you know, it's not like you have to keep redoing it. Once you get to a certain level, that's yours. Can I say that? Can I say it that way? Once you build a certain thing, it's continual. You'll walk in that forever. That doesn't go away. Now you go on to better things. This doesn't leave though. Right? So once you build something in the Spirit, it's a structure God can use. Now you go on and build the next thing. He can use that. Now you go on and build the next thing. He can use that. But these anointings, they don't leave. Isn't that great? So, hallelujah. Oh, Lord, you got to help me. There's something I'm trying to say, and it's like, ooh, ooh, ooh. Hallelujah. And so, your life is to be built in the Spirit. And I have a couple things to tell you. With very rare exceptions, very rarely there's an exception to this, but in most cases, no one is going to come and build your building for you. Okay? There's nobody on earth, and in some rare cases, you'll find a husband that has a wife or a wife that has a husband who will get in there and really pray. But the way you build a building, the way you build a building is through prayer, but it's not just through prayer, it's through strategic prayer. What do I mean by that? Now, most of you who know me, you know I believe in praying in tongues a lot. A lot, a lot. The more you pray in tongues, the more the Lord is speaking His will into existence in the earth. Okay? Now, the good news about the Holy Ghost is He will work with you to pray for what you need. Now, many times when I go into prayer meeting, I say, Lord, what do you want? And we just pray for whatever He wants, and that's awesome. And it builds you up, and it'll break all the junk off you. If you've had an attack, you just get in there and start praying, and I'm telling you, you'll feel different. Okay? But there are times when I say, give me the blueprint. Give me the picture. What do you want to do? What are you doing now? What are we doing now? What are we, just like service. What are we doing now, God? What are we dealing with now? What are you showing me? What are you teaching me? You know, I was going to order this incredible-looking series, teaching series. Oh, it was expensive, but it just looked so good. And I said, God, do you want me to buy that thing? That really looks good. He said, and this shocked me when he said this to me. He said, they heaped to themselves, teacher, having itching ears. I said, my ears are not itching. What are you talking about? He said, so good. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's okay to order any set you want. No, that's fine. But he said, beware of going from teacher to teacher to teacher to teacher, man to man to man to man, and not coming through me first. Because then you get this conglomeration of belief systems, and people are so scattered. So it's like a little kid that goes to a buffet. Did you ever turn a little kid loose at a buffet? Oh, honey, they're not going to go for the chicken and salad. They're not going to the salad bar. They're not going to pick out all the nice, healthy stuff. They're just not. They're going to go get the, if they go to the salad bar, they're going to get that green pistachio salad, you know, and the chocolate mousse. And then they're going to go over to the dessert table and get about 4 pies and 5 cakes and come back and sit down and go, ooh, this is good. Because that's what kids do. And he said, that's what my children do. They pick what teachings they like, and often it's what they already know about and is already their specialty. You know, sometimes you need to go get some meat that you don't particularly care for because it's good for you. Ooh. And so what he was saying to me, now if you come to me, I'll direct you. And I'll use men and teachers. I'll use them. And I'll direct you to what I'm doing with you today. I remember years ago we were staying with this woman. And I had asked the Lord, I said, I'm tired of all this stuff. I want you to disciple me. What are you saying to me? You disciple me. And this woman comes to me and she says, I cannot believe God is making me give you this book. This is like giving you my firstborn child. I'd give you any other book in the house, but no, He wants me to give you this book. See, what was he doing? He was telling me, this is what I want you to read. And it was a life-changing book. It's easy to go online and pick out what looks good, right? But let's start to ask God, what are you doing in me now? What is the season I'm in? What room are you building? What are you doing in me? Build your life. Get the blueprint from him. Have him tell you what it is. I remember after we cleared the land to some degree, and he sent this man into my life that was the last guy I would have taken up with. This guy was rough. He was missing teeth. He was bald. I mean, this guy was rough, I'm telling you. Last guy in the world I would have picked up with. But God sent him, and I could tell by the Holy Ghost that this was a man of God. I mean, this guy had an anointing. And he starts preaching to me, just him and me preaching, you know. And for a while, I didn't understand what he was saying. And then one night I saw God pouring a foundation. He had brought this man, because see, I'd been asking. Let me back up a little. Some of you might remember this story. When my life was so broken, I was standing at the altar of the church getting prayer, and I was crying because my whole life was demolished. My whole life was ruined. Everything, I mean, systematic ruination of every single part of my life. Ruined. And my house that I thought I had built on the rock, I thought I was doing good. I was the intercessor at the church. I knew all the stuff. People were bringing their kids to me for deliverance. I thought I had it. And here's my sad little rotten, broken down house, and I see one rotten board floating out to sea. That was my house that I thought was so hot. I said, God, my whole life is wrecked. Because see, I didn't really have my house built on rock like I thought. It was built on sand. And when the flood came, you know, when the rains came, the flood descended, you know, my house didn't do too good. But I'll never forget that night, because as I turned to walk away from the altar, I looked and I saw up on a hill this like fortress, this beautiful, huge brick home that was God's house, but my house. And he said, that's what I want to build. But you see, I think he had to bring me to a place of junk in the other one. Because, you know, if he doesn't, you just try to patch up your old house. You just keep trying to patch up the old junky one. You know, that's us. Just fix it up. You know, here, we'll just put this over. Nobody will know. Let's just fix this. And here we have this conglomeration, a mixed bag of junk and good. But God wouldn't have it so. He wanted to start over, and he wanted to build something that would stand. See, because I asked him, would you let me carry your glory? Would you let me carry your presence? You don't ask something like that and not be ready to die. When you ask to carry the glory of the Lord, you can't be interested in yourself anymore. If you're going to carry the presence, you cannot be still kicking. You know, your corpse better be dead. Because if you try to carry the presence and there's still some of you in the thing, is you'll fall. And you'll mess it up and you'll hurt people. And back in the 80s, I watched good men of God fall like cinder blocks. And it brought embarrassment and shame and the reputation of the church. We were mocked, we were laughed at, and we were scorned in the media all over the world because of two men. God bless them. God bless their dear little souls. And they were men of God. But they blew it. And I remember saying, Oh God, don't let me screw up. I said, God, I don't care how long it takes. Get me free. Get the junk out. Take out anything that would cause me to mess up before I ever start to preach. Because I don't want to preach and then do something that would bring reproach on the name of Christ. I don't want to do something that would bring shame to you ever. We need to take the time to die to our own agenda. And one of the last things he will make you die to is your ministry. Your gifting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm gifted. Well, get the axe. Because that, you know, and that's the toughest thing to kill of all. I used to call a friend and say, cast the thing out of me. Well, you get the thing about ministry. Get, you know, cast it out. I just couldn't shake the desire to minister, to be used of God. You know? And it was like this thing I couldn't shake. But the problem with that is, and that's not wrong, God puts that in there, but it cannot be mixed with our pride thinking we did anything. And so there has to be some real crucifying of the flesh and peeling away. And let me just tell you ahead of time, it's not that much fun. The crucifixion process, that's not fun. That's not fun. In 1989, I was at the church in prayer. And I cried for 3 hours and didn't even know why I was crying. And I looked up and saw me on a cross dying. And I knew it was not in the natural. I knew it was something about my life. And that night, a crucifixion process began that lasted a long time. But remember, I said to the Lord, I want to carry your presence. And so what was he doing? He was allowing me to be restructured and changed. I started to tell you, and I somehow got waylaid, that the way that he doesn't just push a button and say, poof, you're changed. Poof, you look like Jesus. Poof, you don't have any more pride. Poof, you don't have any more lust. Poof, you're just changed. No, what he does is he takes the hidden things of your heart that you don't even really know they're in there, or you kind of know it, but you sort of go, well, that's okay. And you sort of justify. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. I've done it. I'm not pointing anything. I'm just saying we have a tendency to say some sins are okay. You know, I would never do that. Oh, I can't believe he's doing that. But this is okay. Ooh, that's not good. And so God begins to confront you. And again, he is not mad. He's doing this because he loves us and because we asked. You know, if you aren't a person that asks to be changed or to do something for God, you probably wouldn't be here tonight. Hallelujah. Getting a little bacon. But because you said, oh, Jesus, I want to do something for you, or I want to be changed, or change me, Jesus. If you ever said that, there's a process that he will immediately allow you, but not force you, to go through. Every step of the way, you can always choose to leave the road. When it gets hard, you can always go, change my mind, I don't want to do it. Too hard. Getting out of here. And all your life, as you go along, he will give you choices to make. I had some idols in my life I didn't know were idols. Stunning when I found out that the dream of my life was an idol. Cried for 6 months. Cut the thing off. Cut it off. Cut it off. Died to the thing. Boom. Ministry became the idol. It's okay to have ministry as an idol, right? But I didn't know I did that either. So the first thing he does is he begins to somehow put a mirror in your face. And sometimes it's another human being that's really obnoxious. And he puts them in your face, and what it does is it causes you to rise up, whatever the thing is he's trying to deal with. So the first thing he does is expose you to you, and you go, oh, you, that's not good. And then if you love the Lord, you say, oh, God, I'm sorry. That you're right. That needs to go. Now, the truth. I don't have the ability to get rid of this, but I want to. I'm willing. Jesus, I'm coming boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Get this thing out of me. And then go into it. And begin to let God deliver you from you. He'll change the way you think. He'll change who you are. He'll change your perspective. He'll change everything about you, and gradually, gradually, your building begins to take a shape, and he begins to be able to use it. Now, sometimes he'll just use you in the meantime, but be careful that you still have a heart to be transformed. Because if you just continue on the way you are, you end up with a mixed bag and causing problems for people. Amen? But if you're willing to go after this thing proactively, get the blueprint, get the design, just like Solomon got from David, very exact, very detailed. You know, he didn't just say, build a temple, you know, it's kind of big, it's this big by this big. No. He gave him the height, the width, the depth. He told him how big the doorways were. He told him how much the gold weighed to be in every vessel. I mean, details. What do you want here? What do you want here? What are we doing here? What are we doing here? And God will say to you at some point, get rid of that. Oh, Lord, are you kidding? You don't mean that. Yeah, I mean that. And again, he will never make you. This is the whole thing. He will never make you because he only wants people who choose him. He only wants people who choose him. He doesn't want robots that have to choose him. So it will always be choice after choice after choice. And at any point, you can walk. I'm done. I ain't doing this. This is too hard. I'm not doing it. But most of you are like me, and you love the Lord even unto death. There's some of you in here that you would be willing to be martyred for Jesus Christ. There's some of you in here that would be willing to die to your own life for him. There's some of you in here that want him so bad and want what he has for you so bad, you're willing to cut it off and move on with him. If he says give it up, you say, okay, We're not doing that anymore? Okay. That dream, gone. Now, here's the good news. Sometimes he'll take the very thing you died to and he'll give it back to you. Sometimes not. The joy of it is you never know that when you die to it. You never know. I've had things that I died to that he put on a silver platter and gave back to me. I've had some things I died to that are out of my life forever. But when you really die to him, I mean really die, you don't care anymore. It holds zero interest for you because something has been transformed on the inside of you. So you get the blueprint every step of the way, and then what you do is proactively go to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit is the virtual image of Jesus Christ living on the inside of you, lives with you all day and all night, every day and every night. And he's here to lead and guide you into all truth. He's here to help you build your building, to speak through you, you know, either in English or in tongues, to build the thing. Now, I started to say this. There's a Bible verse that says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Now, that's a strange verse, isn't it? The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That can mean a lot of things, and I'm not going to go into a lot of details, but I will tell you what I've learned over the years. If you sit down with the Holy Ghost and say, Holy Spirit, I need help with this, and be specific. When you pray, there'll be times when you don't have to be, but when you're being specific, be specific. Spell it out. Say it. I need help with this. I need deliverance from, whatever, smoking. I need deliverance from cussing, whatever it is. I need you to show me how to blah. Be specific and then pray in tongues. And the Holy Spirit is so cool and so kind, he will pray, he will target that need. I can go to him and say, Lord, I lift up my sister so-and-so. I can say the name. Would you help me pray for her? And I'll pray for her in tongues. He's speaking things over her life because maybe she's too weak to pray right now, right? And he'll often show me what he's doing. He may give me a word for her. He may not. But he's building her up, and what's happening? I'm building her building for the time being. He will help you pray through what you need to pray through. Okay? But the whole idea is you are his representative on earth, and he will use each one of us a completely different way. And it's the coolest thing ever, because when you're fully you being used as only you can be, you won't look like any of the rest of us. I'll give an example. Is there anybody like Joyce Meyer but Joyce Meyer? No. Is there anybody like Andrew Womack but Andrew Womack? No. Is there anybody like Reinhard but Reinhard? We're one of a kind. And when somebody hits their peak in God where they're operating at a great level, they're uniquely them. They're not like anybody else. The Lord lets you be fully you and fully him at that point. Father God, I give you all the glory, praise, and honor. And I ask that you impart to each and every one of these, your children, a special grace and a special anointing to create their life by the Spirit, to learn from you, to be your disciple truly, to sit at your feet. Give them the grace and the anointing to hear from you in ever-increasing ways, to hear your voice more and more clearly, and to desire to come and sit at your feet, and to say no to the things that distract. Give them the grace, Lord, because we can only do it as you help us, Lord. Pour your grace upon them. Pour your anointing to do this, to build them up into who they're going to be. I can't wait to see who they're going to be in spirit before you come, Lord. It's going to be exciting to see. And I'm excited to see who you are in them. And Father, I bless them in the name of Jesus. I bless them with the anointing to follow it through and to build their building, and may it never be stolen from them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.